Hello, everyone. Welcome back to From the Ground Up. I'm Carmen Milagro. I'm a CBD educator, as well as the founder of Divina Skincare and Botanicals, and I'm your host. So every webisode that we do, we talk about transformation. We talk about success. We talk about your work-life balance and how does that affect the trajectory of your life. And on this show, we're really on a quest to find out the different perspectives from different people from all over the globe, from real estate investors and authors and musicians and artists, because we're all on this path. We're all setting out to accomplish these goals. And then how do you do that with business strategies, with wellness strategies, health strategies? We're here to share all those stories and hopefully it can in some way impact and help you on your journey. So that's pretty much the premise of the show. Let's find out from our guest today. She's a very, very special person. I met her recently and was just taken aback by not just her beauty, but her heart, her smarts. And I thought, oh, I must get her on the show. And she's agreed to be here today. So I'm super excited to present to you Luciani. She's a luxury real estate powerhouse. She's a thought leader. And she's the founder of First Luxury Virtual Real Estate Company, servicing high net worth individuals, as well as sports and entertainment clients worldwide. She's a speaker, an entrepreneur. She's a loving mother and a wife. But she's also an award-winning fitness champion, and she's authored the book called Handle It, Get It Together, and Finally Have It All. So you can see where I'm going with this. She seems like the perfect guest to have on this show, and she's going to be right on, and I'm going to bring her right now. Luciani, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. I really loved it.
Thank you. I know that you're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, and we made it, and you are so gracious to be on the show today. So I do appreciate you taking time out of your day to join me. But I'm missing your tiara. When I saw you, you had your tiara.
I know. I wish I knew. I would look for it somewhere in my luggage from the last event. Thank you.
So how are you doing? I don't know if you... if I shared with you, you know, we discuss on the show just different, you know, strategies and tips and advice, right? And I do believe that as you're growing your business, growing your brand, you're also building from the, not just from the ground up. We all started somewhere, and I love your story. I can't wait for you to share it. But we also have to think about what are we doing from the inside out? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the overall theme of what, you know, I'd like to dive into today with you. I really love it when our audience gets to know our guests in their own words. So if you don't mind, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you were raised? How did you start in the luxury real estate market? And how does your modeling background tie into all of that?
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me again. And thank you for watching. So I was born and raised in Brazil, and I came here when I was 18 years old. I did not know how to speak English, and I was completely broke. So I definitely feel extremely blessed that I am the true American dream. And I have so many people that I've surrounded myself with to thank for being able to get to this point. Because look, none of us can get to the highest level in life by ourselves. And every position I've had, I had amazing people that I work with. And I also have an amazing family that has supported me. And so I came here when I was 18. I started having all kinds of jobs because I was an illegal immigrant. And I couldn't really have a real job. But eventually, I got my papers. And my first job, I worked in an immigration advocacy services. And it was very instrumental to me at the time to help people because I really was helping everyone get their green cards and become U.S. citizens. So it was dear to my heart. But one thing that I noticed very often is that anyone who was extremely successful, they were in real estate. So an example, I was dating this Italian guy and his friend was 18 years old and had a new car and also bought a house. And I said to him, I said, wait a minute, what is it that you do for a living? He said, I'm a real estate agent. And I'm working in a boutique clothing store. This girl comes in, she's buying the entire new merchandise. And I'm asking her, you know, what is it that you do for a living? She's like, I'm a real estate agent. I said, that's it. That's going to be my fastest path to wealth. And I got my real estate license when I was 20 years old. And I've been in real estate since. And I've been doing this for a long time, started as an agent and then built my way into managing other agents. And really was able to take those offices and turn them into the highest producing office in the country. And obviously it wasn't just me, it was me and the team. But, you know, for the first, I'll say 4 years, I never gave myself credit because I wasn't the manager. I was the assistant manager. And I remember, you know, every year they had an award ceremony, and the award ceremony would highlight the top managers and the top assistant managers. And I let me tell you, I've only become successful because I outworked my competition. I really did. And I had no friends for the first like 4 years of my career, because I would get to the office like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I would leave at 8 o'clock at night. I would come home, eat, and go back to the computer and work until midnight for 4 years, 7 days a week. So I remember every year they would recognize the top assistant managers. And I remember waiting. 1 year, I think it was the fourth year that I was supposed to be. My office was the number one office. And I remember the fourth year, and I'm thinking, this time I'm going to win. Because I loved winning. I've always loved winning.
Well, clearly you have a drive, right? You're. We'll talk about this as well. You're a champion.
Yes, and I have. I can tell you, I've discovered how to win in anything. Okay. You, anybody can win in anything, and I've figured out how to do it. So I remember that the manager would not say my name. So 3 years. He's winning the top producing office, but he wouldn't say, Luciani, you're a part of it. And I remember I got so dressed up, and the entire club was rented out. It was about 1,000 people there. And I said, there's no way anybody else can win, because there's no way anybody could be working harder than me. And our office is the number one office. And I remember they said, Cynthia Perez. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's not me. I didn't win. And I remember the tears just dripping down my face. And my husband was there with me. And I said, please, let's just go. Because I couldn't work any harder to win and be the best assistant manager the company had. But what happened that was a pivotal moment in my life. And it was great that that happened, because I was 9 months pregnant. And I went to the manager. I said, listen, I am done being an assistant manager. I'm ready to become a manager. And I had to go through all those obstacles of never being recognized as an assistant manager to finally have the courage and ask for a promotion. And no one ever offered me a promotion, yeah. You know? And then they finally said, well, we don't have an assistant manager. I'm saying, we don't have a senior manager position. We'll start you off as an office manager. It's a big difference between office manager and senior managing director, right? But I said, you know what? I'll take it. I took it. And I was the office manager. And in a year and a half, the office became the number one office, which was a different location. Mm-hmm. So it was at that point, I realized, okay, it wasn't just the office. It was some of the strategies that I took and I put into place that was making those offices successful. And then I finally won my own top producing office. As a matter of fact, like right in front of me, I have.
There it is.
I have like, there's so many here. I have so many. I have maybe like 15 of them.
That's wonderful. That drive and that passion, right? And discovering, yes. Self-discovery. That's yes. Incredible.
And listen, so I think what happens with most people is that people don't know what they want. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I knew I wanted to be the number one office out of all the different locations in that company. They had 16 locations, and that office where I was managing was number six. So I knew I needed to improve revenue to get to number one. And it's just really being curious, because what I did was I started to ask the president, the CEO, what was it that the number one office was doing that was making them so successful? And they're not going to hide from you because they want you to be the best. They want you to be successful, right? So they said, okay, well, that office has all the desks are filled. They are training their agents. Their agents are all making money. They're all selling luxury homes. And I started to really study that office. What were they doing that my office wasn't doing? And I started to implement those strategies. Yeah. But if I didn't go into that discovery mode and if I wasn't curious about what other offices were doing, then I wouldn't have become the number one office. So it's, I think, in the very beginning is just really first wanting it, knowing what you want, and then being very curious about what others are doing that are making them so successful. And listen, there's somebody that have done something before us at one point, no matter what. Exactly. We just have to identify who those people are, what company are doing it, and then just implement it.
And you kept this going. So, I mean, clearly, to be number one, you stay at number one. What is it that you would say that's within you? Is it naturally born self-confidence? Is it more of the curiosity, like you said? Like, what is it that continuously allows you to strive to be the best? Because clearly there's something there. Not everyone has it.
I know exactly what it is. So I've actually done something. There's a course called Date with Destiny with Tony Robbins. And this course is a very expensive course, but it's very deep. And I never understood why I was so driven. I'm like, why am I like this? Why can't I stop? Like, I'm like a machine that it just is a motor that doesn't run out of battery, right? I'm like, why am I like this? So finally, I went to this course, Date with Destiny, and there's something that they teach you that all of us have. And we typically learn this between the ages of 12 and 14. And we have something called a primary question. And a primary question is a question that we ask ourselves during our teenage years that it gives us our identity. So sometimes it all depends on what happens in your childhood. What were your parents telling you? How were they treating you? How were you treated? What were your surrounding like? All of those external factors influence your primary question as a teenager. So my external factors were my grandmother always said to me that I was a chosen one and that I would accomplish anything I wanted in life. And that was the seed that she planted in my head. And I believed it to my heart because it was my grandma who said I'm the chosen one. And she said it was the eyes of God. She would say that to me all the time. And so that kind of planted the seed. And then all of a sudden, what happens also, we're dying to have an identity, right? So my identity was, I'm a winner. And the reason why I chose that, it was a question. The question was, how can I win? That was a question I asked myself when I was about 13. And most people will die and never know that question. But that question is running in your subconscious every single day and making you decide if you're going to go for certain things or not. Yes. But it's there. It's hidden in your subconscious and you just don't know it's there. And I just never knew until I went to that course and I realized, oh my God, that was a question I've been asking myself my entire life. Let me just give you an example.
Yeah.
But when I was I did a rollerblading competition. And when I was 11, I would take a guess. And the rollerblading competition, I won. And I remember getting the trophy and having this feeling of, wow, I love this trophy. And then I did a dance competition. And I did a dance so much. And I did everything I could to win. And I won. Uh-huh. So once again, I got a medal. And I love that feeling of getting the medal. But then the pivotal moment in my life was when I thought I was not a very friendly girl, believe it or not, when I was a teenager. I used to think that I was better looking, smarter than everybody. I was not nice. And I learned a hard way because I really had no friends other than like one or two people. I had like two close friends my entire life, but not a lot of friends. And when I was 13, I did this modeling competition. And my mom couldn't make it because I had a little sister. She said, I can't make it. So my grandma came. And my grandfather came. And when I won first place, I had my entire town calling my name. And I remember for the first time, I started crying emotionally with happiness. Mm-hmm. and fulfillment, thinking, wow, I thought my neighbors don't like me. They actually like me because they're cheering for me because I won. So what happened in that moment is that I had this significant feeling of love, connection, and significance. And in life, we have human needs.
Yes.
And if you're fulfilling these human needs, then you become obsessed with something. So that's what happened to me. I became obsessed with winning because I thought in order to feel love and connection and feel significant, you have to win without knowing that was happening in my life.
Right.
So from that moment, anything I did, I always was obsessed with winning. So then when I became a manager, I became the number one manager. So when I became a fitness athlete, then I won first place. So there's a pattern there, but it's really because I always look for clues on how to win. And I identify clues. So everything in life is like that. So even with the modeling competition, it's simple. Excuse me. So, you know, I'm looking at all the women who are competing, which, by the way, the first competition I did was 140 girls. And they were from 18 to 50. Uh-huh. And many of them never had kids. I had two kids already. Uh-huh. I have two kids. And I got third place. Okay, so I said, oh, I could get third place. Maybe I could do first. And I did it again.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized was something. I said, okay, so the girls wear a bathing suit that looks a certain way. Their hair looks a certain way. Their body looks a certain way. The way they pose is a certain, like, it's all there. I just studied it. You know, I watched videos after videos after videos until I realized, and then I did the same. And then I won. It's just so silly. But people don't do that. They want to reinvent the wheel, right? There's no reinventing the wheel.
Well, it's part of, like, any entrepreneurial journey, right? Our life journey. If you study something, you then... you're learning and you're growing, you're adding to your arsenal of information that you can draw upon for whatever circumstance. But a lot of people, you're right, they don't want to do the work because it's work. Research and study, it's like being in school again. You're learning, but it takes dedication. It takes a little bit of sacrifice. You're not able to go out and do certain things because you're focused and you're, I love the term laser focused. I actually do 100% understand what you're saying. I just didn't really have the words to describe it. I didn't know how what you described in this course that you were taking. But early, very early on, I've had this conversation with a couple of my other guests, and I remember very early on, I didn't want to be someone's secretary. You know, I knew certain things about my personality. I wanted to be the manager. I didn't want to start out in the secretary, you know, back in the day, secretary pool. So I refused to take typing in high school. Like, in, you know, I was a kid. I'm not saying that that was the right thing.
It's okay, because you knew it already.
Exactly. I knew that I didn't want to be someone's assistant, or, you know, I knew that I was going to one day have my own companies, which I'm doing right now and I've done in the past. And we all have ups and downs in life. You're right. We can't do it on our own. But I think when you have that sense of self, of how you see yourself in the world, and I didn't have a grandmother, but my mother did that for me, you know, and the thing that she always would say were things like, you know, in Spanish, there's that saying, you're no less than anyone. You're no better than anyone. And so that's how I grew up with that mindset. And so being the best and being kind for me are synonymous. You know, you help other people like other people help you. And it's this beautiful cycle of kindness. So thank you for sharing that. That was so insightful. I want to sort of dive into the question of, you know, the theme of the show. So we know you are so successful in everything that you accomplish, everything that you set out to do. But there's industry leaders and other celebrities like Arianna Huffington, for example. And she's saying lately, and I know that this is kind of her belief system, you know, I see her on LinkedIn, I follow her, all of that. And she says that in order to be successful and grow and scale a business, you must have a work-life balance, and that health is a key to wealth. Do you agree with that concept?
I think work-life is one of the hardest things in the world.
Well, you wrote a book about it. So tell us about it.
It's possible, right? I think that we also have to define what work-life balance is, because right. What does that really mean, right?
And it's different for everyone. It's different for everyone, right? Yeah.
So to me, having work-life balance, that means, you know, being able to still spend quality time with your family, have a successful business, and be healthy, right? So it's definitely, but I think what happens with most women specifically is that we think that we have to put everybody else first. And then we're guilty if we don't put everybody else first. And then it's the biggest mistake you make, because if you're not putting yourself first, then you're not healthy. Remember the whole analogy when you're in a plane and you have to put the mask on you first?
Yes.
Because you have to be healthy and being able to breathe before you help somebody else so they can survive. Exactly. And that happens in life. We have spouses, kids, family members, friends, and we really have to take care of ourselves first to be able to be at an optimum level to help everybody else. And health is number one. I mean, exercise is extremely important. And, you know, I started exercising because I had no choice. I was working so hard as a manager that I got sick. I actually was diagnosed with a thyroid condition. Mm-hmm. And the doctor told me, he said, you're going to take this medication and you're probably going to have to take this for the rest of your life. But he said, there's one problem. I said, what's that? So he held me by the arm. He said, listen, you're going to have to take this and you're going to gain so much weight. But that you have to, because this can turn into cancer if you don't treat it. Right. So when he said that, I said, oh my God, I don't want to be an overweight person. Yeah. So I refused to allow that to happen to me. So I said, okay, what can I possibly do? He said, well, this is caused by stress. Remember, I was working 7 days a week trying to be the number one manager. So oh, that was the consequence, right? So I said, okay, fine. He said, well, try to not stress anymore. He said, if you're at work and it's very overwhelming, just walk away, go take a walk and try to eat healthier. So I decided to then change my diet. I hired a trainer. I started doing yoga, and I didn't allow people to affect me personally anymore. And when a problem happened in the office, I walked away and I just let it go. And in 8 months, I was cured and I stopped taking the medication. Awesome. Although I was supposed to take it for the rest of my life, but yoga definitely helped me kind of unwind, and right. I don't do it anymore because I work out. But that was part of the, you know, that people only change because they're either going to have tremendous pain if they don't change, or tremendous pleasure. For me at that moment was pain. I had to change. Otherwise I was going to be this overweight, unhealthy person.
Right.
But then I realized that I had to be fit and healthy for the rest of my life. I had to work out and not stress. Otherwise, I would have go back to not being healthy anymore. Right. And so that became the beginning of me working out, going to the gym all the time. And mm-hmm. But the balance part became something important to me, because I knew I had to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. And I would work until about 7 o'clock. I'll come home, see my kids for 45 minutes. I'm very blessed that my husband was always there to support me. So he had a more flexible schedule. So whenever he could, and then we had a nanny to help, but most of the time was him. And I would go to the gym crying in tears, because I felt guilty as a mom to not be with them. I didn't see them all day. And I'm thinking, there must be a better way. I mean, I just can't keep doing this. It's just how awful. And I said to myself, you know what, how about if I go before they wake up? Because mm-hmm. think about it, what happens in life, we're always looking for obstacles. We're not looking for solutions. So I was like, okay, what's the solution here? So I'm like, yeah. Okay, the solution is if they're asleep, then there's no time lost. Right. So I found a trainer that was willing to train me at 5:30 in the morning. And I would wake up at 4:45. I would work out from 5:30 to 6:30, come have breakfast with the kids, bring them to school. Then my day would start. And my day lasted so long. And I just changed the priority. So the thing is, like, anything you want, it's possible. You just have to think about, okay, how important is it to you? Now let's make sure that that's part of your schedule. Then everything else goes around it.
Around it. Yeah, exactly. So that's your anchor.
Fitness and health was priority. And I fit everything else around my schedule, so I wouldn't impact not being with my kids. then I started working out before they wake up.
That's wonderful. That's such a great tip. And it helps because sometimes people are struggling with these same questions. And just to hear someone else share their story helps them to figure things out for themselves. So thank you for that. I know that when, you know, a lot of times we as women, like you said, we fall into that trap, right? You and I talked about it. Sometimes we think that self-care is selfish, but it's quite the opposite. Because when you're taking care of yourself, then we are able to give more to others. But do you find that, I know what I am seeing in these interviews, and I know the pattern that's emerging. Do you think that it's the same question or the same quandary for women as it is for men?
No, because think about human nature. The way it used to be is the men go out to hunt and the women stay home and nurture their children, because we do give birth. I mean, we do nurse the children. It's just human nature for us to be the one giving the love while the man is out there hunting. So there's nothing wrong with how human nature is.
Right.
I think that has gone over generation after generation after generation. I think just now it's starting to change, because now the men and women are out there in the workforce making life and you know, raising children. So like my husband and I, it's really, he does more of what a woman would do than I do. Mm-hmm. But I don't look at him any less. He doesn't look at me any less, because we're a team. I think that's the difference. We have to be there for each other, and you have to help each other with whatever it is. And I think one big thing also is that women think sometimes they have to do everything. And you know what? No, I don't do laundry. No, we shouldn't do laundry. That's a waste of your time. You either pay somebody to do it or you bring it to the cleaners, you know? So sometimes, oh, because my mom did it, because my grandma did it, I should do it. No, unless you love it. Yes. No. My time is best spent with my children, or unless I'm doing it with them, right? Or building a business, or meeting a client, or calling a past client, or creating a new relationship. That's more important to me than doing laundry. So, so I think it's important to think about, look at everything you're doing. What can you take out and have somebody else delegate? And that doesn't have to be just in business. That could be even doing the dishes. Right. It could be, I've even saved time when I make rice. You know, us Latinas, we like to make rice the standard way.
Of course.
30 minutes, right? I found a way that you can make it in 3.
Oh, there you go.
Save time. You can save, because when you're maximizing your time, you can literally figure out everything in life. There's a hack.
Yeah.
Women, we don't like to call a hack because we think it's cheating.
Right. It's a life skill.
Well, I can make rice in 3 minutes, just so you know.
I love that. That's one of the best tips ever we've ever had on the show. I love that. What do you do for yourself? So we've talked about self-care. We've talked about how important it is. But do you have some specific, like, health strategies that, like, or, like, nutritional strategies? Just besides going to the gym, besides working out, but usually it's more complex than that, right? It's not just one thing. We have certain things that we do. So I live in the hemp CBD space. You know, I help other people. I'm a CBD educator. I want people to live their healthiest, best life. And if I can help them with the educational component of that, then that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And that is not just my passion. For me, that's a purpose. But what do you do for yourself?
Yeah, that's great. Well, first of all, I do believe in CBD because my grandma was struggling with some joint pains, and she started using some of the products and it's gone with no side effects. So I definitely believe it's an amazing discovery. And definitely people need to be educated, including myself, but there's definitely great opportunities there. So I'm really excited for you to be helping other people with that. Rephrase the question so I can make sure I'm answering correctly.
Sure. No, I just was wondering if you can share some tips or strategies that you incorporate into your life. Like, wellness strategies, spiritual strategies, because it's a whole package.
You're right.
Self-care is more than just working out. There's the emotional component, the spiritual component, and whatever it is that you'd like to share.
Listen, I think it all has to start with you being curious and wanting to become better, right? So I remember when I was in this discovery phase of wanting to become the best version of myself. Mm-hmm. I learned that, you know, eating canned foods could have some harmful chemicals inside. And then I would come home and my husband would just be opening a can. And I would say to him, we can't eat that. And it became a bit of a conflict. And I think the hardest part is that sometimes it's not only you, it's you and whoever is around you that you have to make sure that's part of the whole idea of becoming better as a human being. Anyway, so I would say, you know, don't drink soda. And he would be drinking Coca-Cola, you know. So now we're on the same page. He's also very excited about being healthy. But I think the first part is being curious, wanting to become healthier and wanting to have a better life. And, you know, everything we put into our bodies really will translate with how you behave, how you think, how you look.
How you feel.
How you feel. And I say that food, I've changed my mindset that food is not there for pleasure. Food is there for fuel. But our grandparents, our parents, everybody decided, okay, we're going to have a great time together. Food tastes delicious and we eat and eat and eat. And eat. So we overeat. We eat things that are processed that are not good for you. And then we get sick. We don't know why. Mm-hmm. But everything we put into our mouth is completely affecting you.
Correct.
And I think, you know, once you're curious about it, understand it, because I learned, obviously, I don't drink soda. I try to not have sugar unless it's fruits. Mm-hmm. And I was always very interested in being the best version of myself to be there for my children, to be a good wife, to look fit. And so it started with eating healthier, but I was curious. So I learned that, you know, sodas are not good for you. Having processed foods are not good for you. Having less meat, still eating meat, but less meat, more vegetables and things like that. Drinking a lot more water because our body, 70% of our bodies is made out of water and we're absolutely dehydrated as human beings. And then in terms of, you know, when I started working out, I just realized, wow, when you work out, it's almost like if you have problems, we all have problems.
Right.
But when you work out, it's like an eraser just goes and removes the worries from your mind. I felt that. Mm-hmm. Every time I would be in the treadmill for more than 10 minutes, and I would be there literally worried, tremendously worried about something, 10 minutes in, all of a sudden, that was no longer a problem. And I said, oh my God, why is it that people are not working out to know what it feels like to not worry so much? Because 90% of the things we worry about doesn't happen, right? And so that's, you know, working out definitely helps. And let me tell you, because of COVID, I didn't work out for a while and I felt it.
Sure.
I felt that it was definitely not the same mindset wise. But I think the biggest change for me, in addition to eating healthy and working out that made also a big impact, was to start meditating. Mm-hmm. And I noticed a lot of people that are very successful, they meditate and I couldn't do it. But I found I actually just bought 50 of them to give it to my clients. And I bought a mask. Uh-huh. And this mask has Bluetooth microphones on them. Oh. And it connects to your phone. So literally you put the mask on and I put a guided meditation. Uh-huh. And I meditate before I go to bed. And that when I couldn't work out, mm-hmm, and I would meditate, the guided meditation, it would literally erase my worries, and you can feed your brain all kinds of information. And you don't realize that you could be feeding your brain, even when you're asleep, your brain is still listening and you're giving your subconscious good information. So there's all kinds of meditation styles out there. There's hypnotherapy that you can feed your brain if you want to feel more energetic, if you want to feel more alive, if you want to feel healthy, if you want to be less worried. There's all kinds. Only just it's like a menu. You can choose and feed your brain with that. Mm-hmm. It definitely helped me when I couldn't exercise.
That's wonderful. I love that tip. I'm going to have to find that mask.
Figure out. Yeah, I'm going to send you address. You're going to send me yours.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Luciani, this was so, like, you provided so much insight and so many tips and advice. Thank you. I think people are going to come away from watching this and go, oh, okay. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Before we let you go, how can people reach you, and what's the final message that you would like to leave everyone with about, their wellness strategy or their business strategy or both?
Thank you. To contact me, you can email me or call me. My email is luciani@theluxian.com. And my phone number is 917-567-8767. I talk to everyone because, let me tell you, some of the most successful transactions I've had came from the people that I least expected. So as an example, I sold one of the most expensive homes in a town called Plainview, and that came from a housekeeper. So maybe that should be one of the life lessons, is that you never know. You have to treat everybody with so much respect, because every person knows one thing that you don't know. That could be the janitor, that could be the housekeeper, that could be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It doesn't matter. We all have different life skills and we all know different things. So don't ever take for granted who that person is, and treat them with the highest level of respect, and just be genuinely interested in hearing what that person has to say. So that's what I was saying. That's why I give my cell phone number, because someone reached out to me the other day and they wanted to talk. I give everybody a chance to be heard. And I listen, because you never know. You never know. Yeah. And in life, the most fulfilled you'll ever be is when you give. Is when you give. And you want to be happy? Give without expecting anything in return. And life is so much better. And if you change your expectations to appreciation, you're going to be thrilled and life will be amazing.
Oh my gosh. I can see why you are such an exceptional speaker. Thank you for sharing all of this information and this wisdom and this kindness. I really appreciate it, Luciani. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. I look forward to staying in touch with you. I appreciate you. Thank you everyone for listening, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Carmen.
We'll be in touch for sure.
Yes. Thank you.
That was the incredible Luciani. Thank you so much for spending time with me today, Luciani. I can't tell you how much you packed into these last few minutes of just wonderful knowledge, and your passion and your kindness just shines through. So I really appreciate that. I'm sure all of you out there appreciate this too. And if we were able to make your day a little bit better by giving you some advice and some tips and sharing this story of how she came from Brazil, she's made this incredible life for herself and her family, but based on kindness and giving to others, I think that's pretty exceptional. And hopefully you will come away with some extra knowledge and some ideas for your journey. I wish you the best on your journey, just keeping yourself healthy as you build your wealth. The transformation starts from the ground up. And my name is Carmen Milagro. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful day. See you next time.